Welcome to another episode of 27 Minutes with John Jurisic and Kelly Darwin.
Okay, well, here we are. Kelly, yet another version of 27 Minutes with John and Kelly. And I'm telling you,
this time we're going to try to get it right.
Yeah, we're trying to do it at 27 minutes.
Yeah. The first one was like 31 minutes.
I know. At 27 minutes, boom, we're cutting. We had so much fun with Lindsay from Country Bee Honey Farm last time that we've asked her to come on every episode. No, sorry, Lindsay. Sorry. I didn't mean that.
I get paid for that?
Well, we'll buy some honey.
Time is money, John.
And we had a good chat about your company and about what's happening on the peninsula and how that all tied into what we hope is the development of agritourism sector. And then it became only natural. We would ask Evelyn from 10 Acres around what, you know, and invite her to a podcast. And Evelyn is here. Hi, Evelyn.
John.
Okay, how are you doing? So tell us about your company. Like what is it you guys do and where are you located? And all that kind of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so our farm is 10 acres.
Yep.
Literally 10 acres. And it's on McTavish in North Saanich. And typically 100% of the food we grow goes to our restaurant groups, which there are two restaurants downtown Victoria, the Commons and the Bistro. And we were taking over the Harrow's and George's in Sydney.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we were supposed to open up on April 6th, and that did not happen. And now we're speculating for the beginning of June, but we're kind of just waiting on government to see what happens.
So are you still going to be operating these restaurants? Because there are numerous in the region that are actually closing.
Yes, so we closed for a few weeks while we tried to kind of revamp a business model. Yeah. And we're into our third or fourth week of doing a pickup and delivery. So our downtown location on Courtney, we now do pickup and delivery 7 days a week. And that is produce from our farm or ready-to-go meals, as well as take-home-and-cook-yourself meals. And this last week, we also started a farm pickup on Mondays and Fridays. Yeah.
Wow. And I've heard that's pretty busy.
Yeah, it is. I find once it was a little slow to get going, but I think the customer base is pretty loyal, and we do a pretty good job with quality. So we're hoping that we get return repeat customers.
So Evelyn, that's fascinating that you guys are able to adapt to the situation, because actually quite a few restaurants haven't been able to do that. And those that have, that's quite a story. Kelly, you and I have not talked to any restaurants per se, but is it the Fig and Fickle of out in North Saanich? You're both familiar, obviously, with
Fickle
that place.
Fickle Fig,
I'm sorry. They have had to hire people. Because they transitioned really fast into this pickup delivery. Are you familiar with that story, or did you base some of your sort of planning on that? Or
so I actually go to the Fickle Fig every day.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So we go for lunch and coffees, and when our crew needs a little pick me up, that's our go-to place. The guys, Josh and Mitchell, they're absolutely fantastic, and I'm such an advocate of what they do.
Those two guys are great.
And I find they're such a bright spot for North Saanich. Yeah. So they again do similar stuff, ready-to-go meals. They sell plant starts, flowers, pizza dough. If you ever go out to North Saanich and you need a fantastic pizza dough, go to the Fickle Fig. Make homemade gelato. They're, it's pretty special.
Don't they have beer too?
So their next door neighbor, Dan, who owns Howell Brewing, they brew. Also fantastic. So you can stop and get lunch and beer in the same location.
I know. I don't see them ever really reopening because they're so busy. I'm teasing. So both of you operate farms in some way or another, and you sell what you create. How have you heard other farmers are doing on the peninsula?
I guess we're not allowed to see each other because COVID, and you can't talk to anyone or see anyone.
So nobody else is doing this?
I think everyone right now, just local people around us are just getting projects done. Like everything's just starting right now, kind of, right? Like everything's just starting to grow. My broccoli in the backyard flowers.
Yeah.
But everyone's just getting ready for the summer. And I think it's going to be busier for any local farms. Like I cannot keep fresh eggs in our fridge. Like I will get 30 dozen on a Saturday and they're gone within a couple hours. Like it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I've had those eggs. They're delicious.
Oh, thank you.
I'm curious. Are they your eggs, Lindsay?
No. Well, we have some. We just mix in some blue ones into ours randomly, but it's mostly from a guy on Oldfield Road, Ed.
Ed
the chicken egg guy.
You know, the egg guy. You know, Ed the egg guy.
It's really worth having these discussions because as I'm sure a lot of people are, discussing with politicians and decision makers around what a post-COVID economy looks like, one of the main focuses, one of three, is to take the supply chain, a good part of the foreign supply chain, and bring it back to Canada, specifically around food production. There's a real wish and want to not have to rely on other countries.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really going to manifest into like a huge business for folks like both of you. Have you guys had chat, like Evelyn, is that on your horizon? Is that something you think about, or, you know, what if it gets really busy, or are you just trying to get through?
No. So in the beginning, because 100% of our produce goes to the restaurants, or our surplus goes to some food banks. But in the beginning, I had 1,000 pounds of asparagus coming on. I thought to myself, holy shit, where am I going to get all, where is this food going to go? So I reached out to some local growers. And after those connections and systems were in place, I was able to relax a little bit. Moving forward, right now we're selling our produce through the restaurants on a website. So our farm market, or whatever you want to call it, is definitely here to stay. So we're definitely going to move forward. Even post-COVID, the market's going to stay with us, which is really, really exciting. And I do think it'll get busier and busier just because people, you know, food security is so topical now.
Yeah.
And I think people also realize it tastes good, and it's nice to support your local businesses, and it's, you know, it's kind of a win-win-win.
Well, my wife and I went out to a butcher on the...
Merriman?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And we bought a week's worth of sort of meals, and with something to do, we took the little dog, and I'll show you a picture in a second. And then we've been eating that meat through meals, and I'm startled how good it is.
Yeah. It's huge just difference. Like,
wow. So we're going to go back now every week.
Good. You know,
get that sort of weeks. And if you multiply me by, okay, let's say 1,000, people are doing that, all of a sudden, hey, you know, we're really starting to develop this sort of, within 100 miles food supply, which used to be just a brand, but now it's something everybody will want, right? So are you guys, Evelyn, therefore needing, have you kept all your staff at the farm and have, you know, the same number of people, or... Are you allowed to say that? Is that private?
Top secret. Don't tell them.
So our farm crew, we're actually a little bit short-staffed right now. Just because for funding reasons, the restaurants took a really big hit. So, combined, there are over 100 employees, so majority of those people are out of work right now. But our farm crew, we're a solid 3 at the moment, and we are full speed ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just a sec. 3?
Yeah.
Provide enough food for 100 employees? 100 for 4 restaurants?
Our restaurant strives to do about 10 to 15% of our food sales.
Oh.
And then we bring other people on, other farms on board. So I'd say we're probably just over 50% from island and local, because more than anything, we realized last year we grew over 50 crops, and we realized that we spread ourselves too thin, and we diversified too much. So this year, more than ever, we've just realized that we were trying to focus on higher value crops and growing more of less, and then identifying other people in the community who grow things really well, and then reaching out to them, buying off them, supporting them, putting their names on the restaurant menus, just because you know, we really can't do everything ourselves. And then when you go to restaurants, people want things like coffee and sugar and oils, alcohol, avocado, just things we can't possibly even begin to grow or think about growing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to learn how to grow them. So.
Pardon?
You have to learn how to grow those things. Avocados, mangoes.
Could you? Yeah. What yeah. else? And we need hundreds of acres.
Right.
And a lot more heat units.
But is there an organization around figuring out where those gaps are for what people can grow or are growing?
I don't really know what you mean.
you're cooperative of farmers. So like if you're doing red peppers, and you need more cucumbers, but like you said, you don't want to over diversify because you can get a larger crop. Yeah. Is there somewhere filling like that's keeping track of this and saying, oh, well, so-and-so down the road has lots of cucumbers and doesn't have peppers?
Gotcha. So there are a couple of websites that you can visit, but I've noticed there's definitely a gap that could be bridged. That would be fantastic if you find something out. I'd love to know. But typically it's word of mouth, just talking to other growers or other people in your community. I can't tell you how many times where I've just gone to get a coffee or, you know, gone out into Sydney and someone tells me about, for example, the cucumbers they buy. And then I reach out to the farmer. And then before you know it, we're buying cucumbers from Tom down the road or, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. It just kind of happens organically right now. But I would be in if there's a list somewhere.
That's a good point, Kelly, because that's some of the momentum behind developing an agritourism sector. Let's just say in developing an agritourism sector, there's 10 pieces to it, let's just say. One of them is the communication piece. One of them is the marketing piece. One of them is the capacity piece. One of them is stay out of our region piece, you know, because, you know, and we've had numerous conversations with, or at least I have, with, well, no, you and I, Kelly, with some of the mayors of Machosin and Highland, they stay out of our community. Yeah. I mean, they don't want people to come in there. Yeah. It's quite fascinating that is real.
Like, especially like now with COVID.
Why don't they want people in their communities? I don't get it. Because of COVID? Or is this like
That's the topical reason, but I think the main reason is they have their community. And the community's there to support each other. It's not necessarily there to support somebody coming from up island who comes and buys all the eggs. And then disappears, right? Yeah. So then the neighbor comes over to buy the eggs and there's none left.
Okay. Gotcha.
And a sense that some folks are going, get me out of the density. You know, that sense that if you're living close to each other, downtown Victoria, you're now going to be more susceptible to disease forever. So then the sense is, let's move the hell out of here. And these other folks in some of these rural communities are going, we like it the way it is. So there's a bit of isolationism going on. I do not sense that whatsoever on the peninsula. Do you guys sense that or hear that anywhere?
No. But we just don't want anybody else to move here, though.
Not a safe thing. Hey, so that, Evelyn, that's fascinating. So the name of the company is 10 Acres.
Yeah.
And that's then sort of a holding company for the farm and the restaurants, correct?
This break is brought to you by minute 14. Hey, we are halfway there.
So why don't we just briefly talk about both of your viewpoints around what, you know, developing this general industry. That was a great point, Kelly. Maybe some kind of centralized communication thing, whatever. That could literally be a chamber of commerce for the agritourism, and you know, just a group of people that are talking and meeting regularly.
Or producers in general.
Producers in general.
Yeah.
There is an organization called Farm Fresh, and they've just put out their magazine for this year that you can go through, and it says every farmer that's registered with them that sells, like what they sell and where they are. So there is something, and they are actually pretty good at keeping up on promoting those people through social media and keeping up on who's actually current. You know, how you find some of these things online, it's like, oh, this person's selling turnips and they haven't sold turnips for 5 years, but they're pretty good at keeping that thing up to date. So Farm Fresh is actually a really good link for that sort of stuff.
You're right. I actually think it's really good for the home shopper, like a retail.
Yeah.
Nice if you want to go for a Sunday cruise with your family and you bring your Farm Fresh guide with you, or not much of a filter on it, but
As a home buyer right now, can I just drive out to 10 acres and get my produce?
Unfortunately, no. So right now, people have to go to 10acresmarket.ca.
Yeah.
And if you get your order in by 1 that day, you can pick it up the same day, or your order goes out the next day. And right now we just have, it's all through online. I don't know if that'll change moving forward. We played with the idea of having a farm stand or having some, self-serve idea, but then we also have people coming in and off the farm, and we're not really set up for that at the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you're delivering as well?
Yeah, downtown we're delivering 7 days a week, within 5 kilometer radius of the restaurant, but we're pretty casual with that. And then the farm, it's a pickup only on Mondays and Fridays. I was just going to say, we're kind of adapting. Like every week we seem to be tacking something on or taking something off. We're definitely in trial and error stage, and we've made some mistakes. We've had some successes, and I imagine we'll continue to move forward doing the exact same thing. Yeah.
So. How many people have you guys had come out to the store? Like you've only done it twice now? Come out to the farm, I mean.
Yeah. So Friday was our first day and we had 21 orders. Yeah, it's
good.
I mean,
good start.
It's not bad. And then on Monday, we had some repeat customers. So for me, when we have repeat customers, it's really exciting because that means we did something right. And usually when you do something right, that one person tells one or two people. Oh, yeah. We're also we're growing plant starts. So we started selling herbs as well. So now if you get your take-home lasagna or some wine or something like that, you can also order some basil or cilantro. Nice. I was thinking of potting up some potatoes maybe, or some tomato starts, or not sure.
You know what? So West Coast Seeds right now has a 45-day wait if you're a customer and you order online. Yeah. So people are buying all these seeds in anticipation of growing these gardens, but the reality is, it's really hard to grow your own stuff in a garden. It really is. I started a whole bunch of stuff and I've lost half of it. Yeah. And so people will buy all this stuff and they'll try and grow it and go, shit, like that is a lot harder than I thought it would be. And then like they want to grow the stuff, but they can't get them into that big before they overwater and it flops over and dies. Starters would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm guilty of that. I was thinking, because we have a garden going, and I'm going to hopefully get my 4 cauliflowers and my 2 eggplant, but it's not really enough. But I am going to, like John said, you taste the difference and you can't go back to the grocery store to the sort of more
processed. And that's what'll happen, won't it? All these people will like we're not going to go buy meat from anywhere else now. Right. And I'm building a route in my head. We're going to go buy the meat and I'm going to go see Lindsay and buy some honey or whatever, coffee. And then we're going to go down to Evelyn and get something down there. And that becomes, a habit. Yeah.
And especially now that like a lot of us are used to now planning out, right? Because we're not supposed to take, we don't want to take frequent trips to the grocery store anymore. So I used to go every single day.
Yeah.
Now we're planning out the week, and that just makes it easier to buy local when I can have my list and now go to one stop, produce a couple big, huge jars of whiskey honey and a cookie.
My God. Hey, Kelly, where are we at with, are we at 27 minutes? Somewhere?
No.
Where are we at?
We've got 6 minutes to go.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I have something else to say.
Yes.
Okay.
I think people are going to try and grow their own stuff, and they will they'll appreciate how much effort actually goes into growing that stuff, especially if you're organic. And they won't come in and go, oh my God, like, why is it that much money? Why is the head of organic cauliflower $5?
Yeah.
Like, they'll have an appreciation for that, because you get so disconnected from how that food grows, whether it's a plant or an animal, and how much work actually goes into it, that they don't mind paying more, and they have more appreciation for the person that's actually growing it, and they'll promote local more.
Well, I think
so. It's a lot of work. Except for lemon balm. I'm never buying lemon balm again, because it is everywhere.
Smells good. You can make martinis or something like that.
I crushed it up the other night with garlic and olive oil, and then put it on some fish and broiled it.
Oh,
so good.
He's a chef. He's a master chef. He hides that. Oh. Kelly is.
Really?
Yeah.
A real one?
A real one, yes.
What? Where's your, why do you have that picture behind you? Disneyland.
Because cooking's hard like farming. The restaurant industry is yeah. Evelyn, you're a glutton for punishment, farming and restaurant industry. That's tough.
Well, you know, to your point, Lindsay, around higher prices, one of the three, I identified this bringing supply chain over here. Another one was to bring light manufacturing over here, both residing elsewhere in the world, the sort of decoupling of deglobalization. There's going to be momentum of that for the next 10 years. Okay. Yeah. And then a big part of why that doesn't work now is because the labor is so cheap. But but this is now going to say, people are going to go, I will pay more for products because I don't want to have that in somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll leave, we got a minute or two. I just want to leave it at this. And on the agritourism side, so about, yet again, 7 or 8 years ago, I started a group called the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Group. And it was advocating on behalf of the manufacturers around the airport, okay? And we fought for a more affordable workforce housing, skilled trades, and more transportation options. And we were very successful. We made a lot of noise. We influenced council. We made a difference. There was not a entity at all. There was no entity. People always thought we were some kind of thing. What kind of group are you? Well, they were nothing. We just were all have the common interests. So when we think about potentially putting an agritourism group together, we just give it a name and meet, identify two or three objectives, bada boom, bada bang. Like, it's not complicated.
Yeah. Like, none of that association bullshit.
None. Zero.
Minutes?
Zero.
Secretaries? Treasurers?
Zero.
Yeah.
Can we put something else on it? Can we be inclusive? Because there's so much exclusivity in between the growing community, whether you're certified organic or you're a meat grower or you're conventional. So I think when this agro-tourism idea comes into play, I think we should include everybody. And it doesn't matter difference of opinions, everybody should be welcome. If you're a grower, come on in. You don't have to be certified, you don't have to be meat or veggies or anything.
Yeah. Well, like anything, as it's my experience, you're gonna find 20% of the people do 80% of the work. So even though that's a yes, there will be only a handful of us that actually do the work. And we're probably looking at three of them right here. And I don't know, Kelly's a chef. I just learned that a week ago. I've known you now for a long time. Anyway, I would be great if you would join us. Recovering. Anyway, we need a name. And so we can just sort of put it out there and we can just start meeting. It's that simple. And then it starts to gather momentum, right? And are we now at 27 minutes?
We're super close. We're at 25 and a half minutes. So I just want to remind everybody listening, check out Country Bee Honey Farm, 10 acres, great local products. And like we said, as deglobalization starts,
you guys, we're going to look back and go, wow, we used to talk to them, you know, when they were available.
Yeah.
We used to talk to them when they allowed us to.
No, now we got to call our secretaries.
They're people.
And, you know, we're selling Country Bee's honey on.
Mm. I saw that on the website.
Yeah. Collaborations.
Yeah. You have goats and peacocks.
No goats and peacocks.
That was the highlight of our trip.
Yeah.
It was, Well, that was early COVID. So we were like, oh, we're outside. And
yeah.
We can't get close to people, but we can get kind of close to the goat.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Did the peacock try and hump you or anything?
How am I going to edit that?
You had to think about that. Like,
no.
Did that happen? I don't remember.
That's okay. I'll take it over. Everyone can use their imagination. Hey, guys, we're going to try to keep it down to our brand. So next time, we're going to talk to you again, okay?
Yeah, this is exciting. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I'm going to invite, okay, so that'll be the end. Okay, so I'll cut it at that.
Nice, but, about 10 seconds. Whiskey
we'll
honey.
Do it.
Oh, the habanero honey. Have you tried it?
Oh, no, haven't tried that.
It is, honestly, it's phenomenal.
What is it? What's in it? What, like it?
That was 27 minutes. We're going to stop on the habanero.
Yeah, honey. I'll cut it on that, okay? Boom. Perfect. Okay, so what's in it?
Habaneros. And honey. That's it. They're not really in it. It's infused into it.
What is habaneros?
You put that shit on everything.
I know what.
They're very, very spicy peppers.
Oh, yes. That's why. I can't have anything spicy.
I don't know, but
the honey balances it, right?
Oh.
John, if you eat a habanero on its own, it's too much. But there's this fragrant, amazing flavor and smell that comes with it. And the honey kind of balances it. It is just drool worthy.
Oh my god,
so good.
Well, I think we're gonna pop by on the weekend and see Lindsay, and I'm gonna unlike my buddy here Kelly, I'm gonna go find you. Well, but I think he's gonna know you.
Okay, you're gonna be that weird person looking in my windows. I'm like, how did you get above the gate?
All right. Well, Kelly didn't really know you that well at that time.
That would have been even weirder.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We do a podcast, and there I am the next morning.
Right?
Hey, remember me from our podcast?
Right?
18 hours ago?
I'm going to get the Fig and Fickle guys, okay? And we'll invite both of you. We'll just have like 20 of you on at some point 2 months from now.
They're so lovely, and honestly, they do such a good job at everything they do. And they're farmers, also very good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of 27 Minutes with John Jurisic and Kelly Darwin. To hear more, please visit 27minutes.ca.